Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we praise you. Lord, we honor you. We adore you. We magnify your holy name. Lord, we thank you for being an awesome and a wonderful God. And Lord, for the grace you pour out, the mercy you deliver day by day. Lord, it is because of your mercies that your children are not consumed. So, Lord, we come today, Lord, thanking you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this week. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be part of this journey. And, Lord, we long for you. We long for your glory. We long for your courts. We long for your sanctuary. We long for your presence. Lord, we thank you. So, Lord, we are asking that you show up tonight in a special way on this call. Lord, bless the word tonight in a special way in the hearts of your people. It's blessed before I open my mouth, but bless it in the hearts of your people. Bless it in the mouth of the facilitator, teacher, and Lord, have your way. Oh, praise your name. Oh, hallelujah. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is yours and the fullness thereof. Thank you, Lord. We know that from everlasting to everlasting, your God, that you are indeed our shield and exceeding great reward. You are, hallelujah, the very light of the world. You are, hallelujah, our help, hallelujah, in a very present help in the time of trouble. Lord, you are our shield and buckler. You are our way, hallelujah. You are our deliverer and healer. You are our champion, Lord. We thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Bless every soul that joins this call. And Lord, you know what they need. Lord, meet them right there where their need is. Meet them at the point where they are uncovered. Meet them at the point, hallelujah, where they feel, hallelujah, weak. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Oh Lord, we lift you up. We, hallelujah, rejoice in you. Lord, let the joy bells ring in our souls tonight. Let our hearts burn, hallelujah, by virtue of the power of your word. Hallelujah. Show us your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing to be with you tonight. We're going to read one scripture. I'll give you the topic, and we'll do some backing up, setting some context. And then in the course of all of this, I'll give you what the Lord has impressed upon my heart. So we trust that it is well with you and your families as we come tonight. Exodus 33, Verse 18. This is Moses talking. And he said, he's talking to God, I beseech thee, I urge you, I plead with you, Lord, show me your glory. Show me thy glory. That's the 33rd chapter. In the 32nd chapter, it starts out with the people saying, Moses has been too long on Mount Sinai. And as you know, he was there 40 days. He didn't eat while he was there. The Lord gave him two tablets with the Ten Commandments on. And he had, the scripture said he talked to God face to face. He experienced a manifestation of God's glory. His face shone. The God we serve, I said I was going to give you the topic. The topic is longing for his glory. We got a hunger for and thirst after righteousness. We got to long for his glory. We got to long for intimacy with the Lord. If we don't, we'll get something from God. He's so awesome. We can learn a lot about him from a distance. But how much the more intimate could it be if we would constantly hunger and long to draw closer to him and to see and experience his glory? And when Moses was talking to the Lord, he said, I beseech you. He was making a petition. He was praying, Lord, please show me your glory. Hallelujah. This was a tough time for Moses, because when he came down from Mount Sinai after this 40-day awesome experience, he saw the children of Israel worshiping, dancing around a golden calf led by his right-hand man, his brother, the very first high priest, Aaron. And boy, is that a big change for being on the mountain, talking to God face to face, having already endured a lot of stuff with these people. And it seems like, okay, God, we're turning the corner on this. This is taking a spiritual turn. Maybe they'll stop longing for Egypt when they see your glory on my face. But it wasn't like that right away. And he had kind of a come apart. The Ten Commandments end up getting torn up, broken up. And he asked Moses and finally got an explanation. Now, at the beginning of chapter 32, let me get the verse. Now, let me get the other part first. So, Exodus 32, 24. I think that's right. Now, that is before the chapter where I read verse 33, 18, and he's beseeching the Lord to show him the glory, his glory. And then verse 21, Exodus 32, verse 21. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto you? What did they do to you that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? The people were naked, dancing. It's really crazy. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people. You know how they are. You know, don't get upset with me that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us, for as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. We don't know where he is. He could have slipped back to Egypt. We don't know what's going on. And I said unto them, whoever hath any gold, let them break it off. Earlier, we find out a lot of this were gold earrings that they broke off. So they gave it to me when I cast it into fire, and there came out this calf. We threw earrings into a fire, and then the calf jumped out, the golden calf. That's what he told Moses. But let's go a little earlier in this chapter. Verse 2, Exodus 32:2. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tube after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, he made it. He's the artist. He's the creator of it. And he tried to tell Moses, we just threw some earrings in the fire and I jumped up. A fully formed golden calf, coincidentally. That's how it is when we don't do right. Our minds are creative in terms of finding out a way not to live right, not to face up to the truth, not to yield our members unto the Lord, not to surrender to the Lord, and not to worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, we can get creative with that. And we work harder doing that than it would be just to surrender to the Lord. And it's just in our flesh. What happens in church, let me give you an example. I think it was somebody that came to visit. They may have been visited with Minister Malone. I'm not talking about her posse from Biloxi, but someone from Tennessee. I think it may be Minister Malone. Somebody, they came to visit. Apparently, they enjoyed some aspect of the service. And they said they would come back, but they wanted the praise team to be more spectacular or whatever. And it grieved me at that time, not because of the praise team, but because we are so conditioned to delight in human efforts that we are not really at times longing for and earnestly seeking God's glory. 1 Corinthians, we're going to get back to Exodus 33. 1 Corinthians 6:19. This is just a further 19 and 20. Just as a further punctuation on the point I made about delighting in human efforts. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Now we know what that price is. Therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to the Lord. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price so horrific and complete. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus Christ that it need not ever be repeated. Bulls and goats had to keep on killing them. to hold back the wrath of a holy God year by year, day by day. But when Jesus laid down his life for us, because of the love that God had, because, hallelujah, there had to be a price for sin, that price, hallelujah, allowed us to be temples, receptacles, treasure and earthen vessels, to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, bought with a price. So it does not matter about human efforts. We want God to anoint every effort we make, every song we sing, every scripture we read, every prayer we pray, every testimony we give, every time we read the scripture in a public setting. We want God to get the glory. We want God to anoint our voices, praise God, hallelujah. But we should be seeking the glory of God, hallelujah. And everybody on this call loves some good singing and loves a good testimony. In fact, in my days when I used to run around the church, one of the brothers said, "You look like Jackie Robinson running around." I let you know that was some years ago. But I used to love to run around the church. Usually it was based on somebody's testimony, running around the church. And then the times, and everybody's different, so don't think, I'm giving an example. I'm not saying you have to do it this way. The times when I've actually, in a church service, I'm not talking about in my own devotional time, but in a church service, became drunk in the spirit as described in scripture, is on the basis of the word. Hallelujah. The word. Thinking about the creator. Hallelujah. Thinking about, hallelujah, how glorious he is. Thinking about how much grace and how many opportunities and chance after chance after chance it took to even get me where I am to get today. And you know we need to go so much further in the Lord. But just to get us right where we are today, how much grace, how much mercy, how much forgiveness, how much pour out from heaven did we have to get just to sustain us, just to push us to today? Hallelujah. I think I've lived over 25,000 days. New mercy every one of those days. Hallelujah. So longing for his glory is our topic. And we're on Exodus, the 33rd chapter. So that, you know, we read toward the end of chapter 32, verse 24, in that area, about Aaron giving an excuse. I'll be sweet to him. I'm not going to call him a liar. He's making an excuse. He's the first high priest. I'm not going to say he lied, but I will say he was making an excuse. They threw the golden earrings into the fire, and out jumped. That's just such a, anyway, out jump a golden calf. And then we see earlier in chapter, he's the craft. He's the leader. He didn't have backbone enough to tell the people no. And we're going to wait for Moses to come back, no matter how long it takes. Well, so we get to chapter 33. Imagine that now, 40 days, talking to God face-to-face, got tablets written with the very finger of God with the Ten Commandments on it, and come back, and they dancing around naked around a golden calf. and his right-hand man in terms of being his spokesman, his partner in ministry, Aaron, the high priest. He should know something about the glory of God. Is leading all this stuff and making excuses. How difficult that must have been for most. Have you ever had a moment like that? Well, you look at him around and said, what are we doing? Where's the real spirituality? Where's the real commitment, hallelujah, to each other? Seemed like even if they didn't love God that much, that they would have a commitment to each other and to Moses not to do that. Where sometimes we wonder, what's going on, you know? Am I being punked? Is this really, hallelujah, the state of affairs? And then God, who is faithful, God who never leaves us, God who can't lie, God who will never forsake us, hallelujah, would give us just the boost we need to get back on the right, get back on the good foot, like James Brown or somebody said. And the Lord can bless us like that. So at the beginning of chapter 32, that whole chapter, Moses probably struggling, you know, he probably felt like Jesus did when he saw the money changers in the temple, you know. Somebody needs to get a whooping for this, you know. But then chapter 33, we see he ends up in the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. But he moved it. He moved it outside the camp. He needed some time away from these folks. So we start out chapter 33. We read Exodus 33:18, where Moses got bold and asked and prayed to God, Lord, show me your glory. Hallelujah. It's been unglorious since I left the mountaintop. Show me your glory. Show me. And sometimes we need God to show us his glory. It might not be a physical manifestation. It might be the opening up of a scripture. It might be something that explodes in your spirit that you've read many, many times. God can deal with you and show you his glory, even if you said in the kitchen, cooking bacon and eggs. You don't have to necessarily be in what we would ordinarily think as outside the area of the mundane and ordinary. We can be doing something perfectly ordinary, but our hearts have to be longing for him, and God will pour out something that will cover, hallelujah, or whatever it was that had you feeling some kind of way. So verse 1, Exodus 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, remember, 32 is what the golden calf situation. I kind of laugh. It's just ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. And then to top it off with a, I want to say laugh. Excuse, I want to be nice to Aaron, brother Aaron. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. It's time to collect the inheritance. It's time to possess the land. It's time, hallelujah, to do what the two faithful spies said, Joshua and Caleb, and particularly, I believe these are the words of Caleb, we'll well labor to possess the land. Verse 2, I will send an angel before thee And I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. God sometimes will give you something, hallelujah, that he has promised he would give you, but there will be obstacles awaiting you. They had all these ites already squatting on the land of God's people. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to send an angel before you. And we're going to, the God's people are going to drive them out. And we need to drive some stuff out of the church. Drive some stuff out of our conversation. And drive some stuff out of our lives. Some people, some ungodly relationship. If you are dealing with somebody, whether it's romantic or supposed to be tight buddy, who will not go to church with you, that should tell you something. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. If I go with you, you start acting crazy and throwing some more earrings and jumping out, I just might wipe you all out. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, oh, now we're going to think about God now. Oh, he really is holy. He's not playing with us. And no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people, hard-headed, stiff-necked, not full of anything, but foolishness. I will come up in the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Sometimes that's all people understand, right? Pastor Driver used to tell me, I was an assistant pastor. She said, Brother Perkins, you can't be too nice to black people. I know what she's talking about. She was prophesying. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. You know, the tabernacle was a tent, sometimes described as the tent of meeting. They had a few other little ways that they referred to it. But this is the tabernacle of Moses in David's time. There was a tabernacle of David, and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. See, right there, that's another name for it. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And again, this is a picture of the church. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. They watching him. And they're scared. Moses had given them a message straight from God. He said, you stiff-necked, you better straighten up. You're gonna get consumed. I love this. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. Don't touch God's anointing. Remember about a year ago, I was all riled up about something while I was preaching. And I said, keep your mouth off of Brother Heaven Church. Somebody heard that. Anyway. And the Lord talked with Moses. Sometimes we have to quiet ourselves down. Put aside the distractions. Put aside the day-to-day busyness and bustle of life. And have a little talk with Jesus. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the door. And now, after seeing the manifestation of God by virtue of the relationship that Moses had, I wonder how many people are moved to worship, moved to seek God because of something manifested in your relationship with the good, with the Lord. And I'll read that again, verse 10. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp, but his servant, Joshua. Don't you like it when somebody's faithful? Don't you like it when somebody you can count on? Mm-mm-mm. They might not have all the answers. When you broke, they may be broke too. But something about faithfulness, somebody sticking with you, somebody who has your best interest at heart, somebody that sees something in you perhaps everybody doesn't see. Hallelujah. The son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. He stayed as close to Moses as he could possibly get. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know your way. These people, if they are going to have some hope, I got to be right. Because they're looking at me now. I guess that golden calf only had a temporary attraction. But plus he burned it and took the dust of it, poured it in the water, make them drink the water. So, you know, the golden calf is gone. We see that in chapter 22. He made them drink water polluted by the ashes of the golden calf that they were dancing with. And I'm telling you, there are consequences to disobeying, disrespecting, not honoring God. How dare they try to make a God out in the wilderness after God brought them through the Red Sea, brought them through the plague, brought them through the Passover? How dare they forget because they wanted some leeks or some whatever they thought they were missing from Egypt? Because the manna wasn't enough for them. And so many times the word of God is not enough. We got to have CC whiners there. We got to have this and that and these things. The word is not enough. And the word, the manna wasn't enough for the children. And that's part of that same spirit is what got them in that situation where God is just getting ready to like blow from his nostrils and they would be gone. White. Out. I'll read 13 again. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. Not that I may make a name for myself. Not so the people will say how awesome I am. Not so the people will say, oh, that Perkins is so anointed. That I may know thee. That I may know thee. The implication of, I may know thee more and more and be more intimate with you. And I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. He's reminding God. God don't need a reminder, but he's doing it anyway. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. I will give thee peace. I will give thee security. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. If the Lord's presence is not with me, I don't want to go. And remember when you sing the song, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go. Anywhere is heaven to be, wherever I be, if he is there. It's not circumstantial. It's our love for him. Our prayer, our longing that we might see his glory. Oh, my Lord. And I love that I will give thee rest. Take my yoke upon and learn of me. And what's the result? I will give thee rest. He didn't have no rest when he saw that golden calf after communing with the Lord for 40 days. Verse 15. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. I had read that before. Let's read verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. What is this, the distinctiveness, the blessing, the set apartness that comes with going up? Hallelujah. Saints, we need to go up. Hallelujah. We can't stay wherever we are. This is a pilgrim journey. You can't get anywhere standing still. You can't get anywhere being scared. You can't get anywhere being satisfied with just whatever, with the routines of life. You got to want more. You got to long for more. You got to hunger and thirst after a real relationship, a renewed relationship with the Lord. You got to be always thinking, Lord, I want to find grace in your sight. Lord, I want to please you. What would you have me to do? Who can I honor today? How can I honor you today? How can I serve you today? How can I bring glory to your name even this day? Hallelujah. Verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing. I will separate you. I will cause you to be a peculiar people. I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. See the consequences of a sold out soul, that the entire nation is being blessed, even though they just got through dancing around a golden calf. Hallelujah. And by the same token, Aaron's disobedience almost got them all wiped out. There are consequences on the good side of being obedient and faithful, and there are consequences on the not so good side, on the weeping side, on the wrath side of being disobedient. I know thee by name. This is intimate. Hallelujah. What if somebody said, they walk up to me at some church service and they give me a warm embrace and they say, I love you so much, my brother. I love you. You just don't know how much I love you, my brother. And then I say to them, what's my name? And aren't you Minister Jones? Oh, you know my name. There's something intimate in someone really knowing your name. Not just the name that you've given, not just the surname that comes through family or marriage, but they know something about you. They can name something about you that God has given you. Verse 18, which is the verse we started out with. And he said, I beseech thee. He's praying to God. He's urging God. He's pleading with God. Hallelujah. He needs to see something after what he saw in chapter 13. He needs to experience something. He needs an encounter with God. Hallelujah. He needs a boost. He needs a comeback. And I beseech thee, show me thy glory. The word please is not there, but it's implied. He's begging almost. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. You're going to get a concentrated experience of my glory and everything coming back. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee and will be gracious to him whom I will be gracious. That's it all through the Bible. Mercy, I'll be merciful upon whom I want to be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. What are you saying? It's my prerogative, y'all. Back up. It's a throne of grace, not entitlement. And will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face. You asked to see my glory, but I'm letting you know I can let you get a glimpse of my glory, but I can't let you see my face. Because I ain't trying to kill you right now, Moses. I kind of want to kill the rest of them, but not you. For there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Mm-mm-mm. It's good to have sure footing. It's good to have some foundation under your life. It's good to stand on God's truth. It's good to stand in his presence. It's good to be in a secure place, in the ark of safety with God. Mm-mm-mm. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth thee, passeth by. I'm getting pumped about this. I'm in my office, you know. I'm in a government building. But oh, my Lord. Wow, my glory passeth by. I'm gonna give you a glimpse, but I'm gonna hide you. In other words, I'm gonna show you, and I'm gonna hide you. Because sometimes, praise God, God had not been in maybe not his perfect will to show you something as glorious as he'll show you. But because you ask, and because he knows you're hungering after him, he might just show you something that he didn't plan on. He didn't necessarily want to show you, because it's not the kind of thing he normally shows his people. But he hides you too, right? He showed all things in the 12th chapter, as described in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. He says, I come. I love that first verse in that. We know the whole, oh, it's just so good. Y'all just bear with me. I'm an old man. Let's see. I'm thankful. 2 Corinthians 12:1. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then, you know, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches. We might not be quite there yet, but in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong, Paul says. Thou canst see my face, verse 20, for there shall no man see me and live. Verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me that I shall stand by upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I put thee in a cleft or a depression of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Hallelujah. Cover. We talked about that last week. And I will take away mine hand after you out of danger, and thou shalt see my back part. Some translate that as kind of like the glory of the robe. But what it is really saying, you'll get an indirect glimpse, because you can't look at me straight on, full on, and live. But my face shall not be seen. My full glory shall not be seen. Questions, comments, brief testimonies. Saints, longing for his glory.
Praise the Lord,
Minister. Praise the Lord, Minister.
It was one thing that you said that as reading this story, oh, as many times as I read it, and starting the new year, I always tried to read through the Bible, and I haven't got to it again. But one thing I haven't noticed is you brought allude to like what Aaron did when he said that, you know, the people just threw the jewels into the fire and the calf came out. But then you alluded to what he did in shaping and making the calf. and then put it into fire to meld it together. And when you said that, it was like, as many times I've read, I've never like thought about what Aaron did. I always thought like the people, the people. But it made me think, well, okay, what internally, like self, what am I doing in conjunction to say it's the people, you know, not quote unquote the people, but environment, people around me, family, friends, you know, influences. Like, what am I doing to hinder or help in the work of the Lord? So, amen. Thank you for alluding to that. It was like a nugget, like, oh. So, thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. Everybody on the call should, in your own way, in your own place, in your journey with the Lord, in your walk with the Lord, be thinking. You should be putting yourself in the scripture. That's one of the basic things about walking with the Lord. It is a word of requirement. It's not just a word to be enjoyed, or whatever the right word is, experienced momentarily. But there should be an inquiry that we all make. I made it as I studied this, as I read it, as I was speaking. Where am I making excuses? What am I hiding behind? Isn't it better for the Lord to hide you in the cleft of the rock than you to try to hide behind an excuse? So, questions, comments?
Oh, praise the Lord. This is Sister Carol. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I just want to tell you that I'm enjoying the Bible study also tonight. And, you know, the way the Lord, the things that Moses asked, like you said, should be things that we also want to ask, you know, to see God's glory, to stand in God's presence, to see God's goodness, you know, his grace and his mercy, things that we should desire, you know, on a daily basis. And that he's got a place that he can hide us also too. And that's that place of peace. That's a place of calmness. That's a place where, you know, we rejoice and we're no longer looking at our circumstances, but our circumstances may not be ideal. They may be even bad, but we may have heavy burdens. But in that place, you know, where we stand with the Lord, that peace and that calmness and that quietness, you know, we look and say, we know this too shall pass. And also had a brief testimony today, this morning, I got a phone call. That first it was from Anisha. She says that she had been in a car wreck, and that it was that she had to dodge to get out of the way because a car was going to hit her head on and everything. And then the next call I got was from Cortez. He said that he was taking her baby, Araya, to the hospital, he's pulling in Skyline's parking lot right now because she seems unresponsive. And so I just got on the phone, called Sister Renee, some different prayer warriors up to start praying and anything, start praying and everything. And then by God's grace and mercy, they all left the hospital. Araya's fine. She left the hospital. She's okay and everything. And I just want to give all the glory to the Lord. The car was completely total. Anisha sent me some pictures of the car. It really looks bad and everything. But we can replace a car, but we can't replace a life. And I just want to thank the Lord that he's a very present help in the time of trouble. Those prayers that we pray in the morning before we leave the house, when we ask for the angels to come and cover all of us, our loved ones, church members, and everybody. And then when we plead the blood of Jesus over ourselves, church members, family, everybody, that the prayers are working.
Praise the
Lord. I just give God all the glory. Could have been a different report. We could have been planning some funerals.
But by
God's grace and mercy,
hallelujah.
We're not planning a funeral. We're rejoicing and we're giving God all of the glory. And we know that baby Raz, she's had, you know, 2 falls, and you know, she can't take no more trauma, but by God's grace and mercy, she got a good report. She was fine. They had to check her out.
Amen. That's awesome. That's so wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. You brought up some really good points, Sister Carol, about how God can hide us. Let me read a scripture and let me give a brief testimony about it. Psalm 32, just one verse, verse 7. It is a Psalm of David. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with the songs of deliverance. Selah. Years ago, before I became a pastor, I was a minister at this time, serving out in the country. And I had a dream. It was a crazy dream. Me, my big sister Chris, my big brother Robert, were in the loft of something like a barn. And there were some people after us, and they were trying to shoot at us. And they had set, I think they had set the place on fire. It was like a movie, and it was crazy. But I was calm the whole time. And I did not want to die, but I was calm. And then all of a sudden, something appeared. It looks like I'm the only one that saw it. It was the only way I could describe it. It's not this exact dimension, but like a telephone book. But it wasn't a telephone book. But it was kind of like a telephone. I can't describe it. I can see it vividly even now. So I came in backwards and sat in this thing. And then I disappeared and I was safe. And I woke up from the dream. This did not happen for my brother and my sister, whatever it meant. And the Lord took me to that verse I just read. Thou art my hiding place. Hallelujah. And you know what? God knows how to hide us. We don't know what attacks are coming from the enemy, through people, through drunkenness, through carelessness, through murderous tendencies. We don't know, but God knows. And he knows how to hide us. He knows how to show us, and he knows how to hide us. He knows how to reveal things, and he knows how to protect us, that we won't get too proud, like Paul was concerned about, that he had seen things that wasn't lawful for someone to see, and God kept him humble. Hallelujah. In the midst of going to the third heavens and all of that, God knows how to show us extraordinary things and dreams and everything else. While we're sitting in this service, I've been in services, praise the Lord, where I had nothing to do. I wasn't part of the reading prayer, nothing. And God showed me visions while I was sitting there doing, sometimes at my lowest point. I remember one time I was at a kind of low point in ministry, and Wednesday night Bible class in January, it was cold. We were out in the country. I'm sitting on the front pew, and no matter what happened, no matter how low I was, if the doors of the church was open and it was humanly possible for me to be there, I was going to be there because God had been too good to me. And I'm sitting there. And low point in my ministry, wasn't preaching much, wasn't getting invited out much. I just had hit a dry spot. The Lord spoke to me. It was not audible. Hallelujah. But I heard it. And you just have to have experienced it to know what I'm talking about. And he said, I'm going to put a trumpet, not in my mouth, but in my throat. I never would have formed a sentence like that. A trumpet in my throat, I wouldn't have formed it. Hallelujah. He said, and then after that, I kept saying, Lord, give me my trumpet. I want my trumpet. Well, I didn't hear what he said. He said, I'm going to put a, it was his trumpet. You're going to put a trumpet in my throat. Well, we'll see whether that has happened or will happen. God said it. I have confidence in it. I'm not professing anything other than that's what he did. In my spirit at a low point, and at this low point, it wasn't super low, but it was low enough. God spoke to Moses here in the 33rd chapter, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And he had somebody, Joshua, on standby, who was determined to stay as close to him as he possibly could. Questions, comments, anybody? Brief testimonies.
Praise the Lord. It's Sister Nia.
Praise the Lord, Sister Nia.
I was going to just kind of piggyback off of what Mr. Malone was saying. It's about like how you don't really know who you're influencing. You said something about it as well, who you're influencing about the glory of God. I know I talked to you, Pastor P, and First Lady, about how I've been influencing one of my coworkers about getting close to the God, and she's been talking to me about that, how she feels like, you know, I was kind of placed the job for a reason and helping her get close to the God. But not only that, this morning, so I know I talked to you about it. I'm a dreamer. I have dreams. God talks to me in my dreams. I have crazy dreams, things like that as well. My son is the same way, which I've been learning. And he has nightmares sometimes. And I remember at one point in time, I talked to him about it and I prayed over him over it. And I was like, you know, when you have a nightmare, you just got to say in the name of Jesus. I was like, it's going to go away. I promise. I was like, just bring it up. Just say it. It's going to go away. So this morning, he was telling me about one of his dreams, and he's only four. And I know y'all hear him talking sometimes during church, but at home he has full-blown conversations. And he was like, Mommy, I had a dream, you know, something was chasing me and it was trying to get me or whatever, whatever. And I was like, for real, what happened? He said, I said in the name of Jesus. I said, and what happened, son? He said, and it went away. I said, I told you it'd work, right? And I was like, he was like, yeah, and it worked. I said, okay. I said, was you scared? He said, no. I said, I told you, you don't have to be scared of nothing when you got Jesus. So just knowing that I'm influencing my children as well, it just means a whole lot to me because they're seeing, you know, even at their young age, they are able to see and they're able to know that, you know, mama calls on God for everything. Mama walk around the house praying. Mama calls on, you know, Jesus for whatever. And they know that that's all that they got to do and they're going to be fine. So, praise the Lord for that. It's something like it had me crying this morning, but of course, happy tears.
Amen. Thank you.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
That was awesome. I mean, we've had some awesome testimonies and remarks so far. Anybody else? Hey, Brother Vic, you available? You're on mute right now.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right.
In my thoughts about them dreams. Because, right, you know, conversation me and you had. So, y'all forgive me. I was just in thought. I only talked to God about it, and one other person, then Pastor Perkins, about the dream I had. I still don't understand it, but I know God is faithful. But I think he was giving me a warning about being attacked, because I had a dream so bad that it felt like it was real. And he was at my throat. It was a wolf. And I wasn't scared. I don't know if that's the way God blessed me to be, or was it the military, whatever it was, I was never scared. Pretty much period all my life. Sometimes I probably was stupid about not being scared, but that's just who I was. So I fought it. And it was so real to me. You know, because I always wanted to be like Samson. So the strength came and I threw that thing so hard to my right side. I woke up because I threw myself on the side of the bed and hit the chair and everything. And I still don't understand it right now, but I praise God. He's trying to tell me something. I haven't figured it out yet. He'll let me know, but that's where my mind was at. That's why I was in another world when you called me. So I apologize for that. I was thinking about that.
That's all right.
Yeah, so I'm here, Pastor.
All right. And so, you know, did the fight take place in terms of what you could visualize in the dream? In your room, in your bed, or was it were you somewhere else?
No, I was at home. I was in the bed asleep.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. So just pray about whether that means that you're fighting with yourself about something. I'm throwing something out as food for prayer and thought, that you're struggling with yourself about something in your own space.
And I thought about both of that.
So God's gonna, but the dream is not the issue. The dream is just an avenue to pray and surrender and get closer to God. If he wants to give you a perfect interpretation of it, he'll give it to you. But you can't figure it out. But he's dealing with you about something that he wants you to get past. Whatever it is, you may have some ideas from your life what it could be, but he's trying to prepare you for something else. He's trying to move you somewhere else, but there's a struggle that has to be won. You have to get victory over something in order to get to the next phase of what God, to turn the corner on some things and step into a clearing, an open space in him, my brother. So be prayerful about it, and God will show you the details. If he, you know, say, I'll have mercy on whoever. If it's his prerogative, if he wants to, but it's something along those lines, without me being able to give you any details.
Yeah, I thought about a lot of it, but you know, I pray a lot, but whether I like it or not, it's God's will. He it's up to him. It ain't up to me, and that's probably something I got to get over, that God wants to do in my life. Then, you know, I'm probably holding on some stuff. I'm like, really? You know, but I guess he's trying to get me to the point where it don't matter what I think. I'm God, and just trust me, you know.
We need each other. Brother Vic, you know, I was talking to you Sunday, and I told you, sometimes what I tell the preachers when we have a meeting, I told you, I said, I need you, bro.
I need you.
Yeah. And why? Because where we are in the Lord has consequences for other people, right? And
yes,
so,
sir.
And so I have to stay prayed up because I never know when I'll get a call from somebody where something has gone wrong. Somebody's in the hospital, somebody's getting ready to take a test or whatever. And I have to be able to get a prayer through right then to the Lord. I can't be like, oh, I gotta get this straight and I gotta get that straight. I gotta get 19 things straight before I can get a prayer through. No, I gotta be able to be clear to go straight to the Lord and know that he'll hear my prayer and he'll answer or respond.
Amen.
So I know you to be a praying brother, Brother Vic, and I know you to be studying the word. Keep doing that. But Bread of Heaven needs all hands on deck. Hallelujah. Because whenever God is moving, we got an adversary that wants to play like he want to move too. And so we got to hit it. We got to hit it, you know. It ain't time to for anybody to back up. It's not any time for anybody to run away. I ain't talking about naturally. I'm talking about spiritually. Run away spiritually, back up and all that. It's not time for that. We got some awesome people in this group. Anointed, gifted. People who can not only break down the word, but they can do things naturally. They have influence with other sisters and other brothers and that kind of thing. And it all hands on deck. Sister Carol can minister to people with mental illness. Think of how big a gift that is.
That's a big gift.
And so let's thank God for where we are, what we have, hallelujah, with the realization, hallelujah, that we are called to more. Jesus came that we might have life, and that more abundantly. In other words, the sky is not really the limit to what he can do for some sold out people. What Jesus could do with a little boy's lunch, what more can he do with a sold out, blood washed, Holy Ghost filled, sober minded, joyful, surrendered saint of the Most High God? One can send 1,000, and then there's a multiplication principle. Two can send 10,000. What does that mean? There's power in being knit together in love. There's power that causes a multiplication because God is indeed a multiplier, so he can bless. And sometimes we get it all mixed up. You say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and somebody said 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, but it's 1 × 1 × 1. And those are just manifestations, 3 manifestations of one God. And he is majestic and wonderful, and he knows how to bless us. All right, anybody else?
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And just listening tonight and hearing your wonderful word come forward and, you know, just, you know, and encouraging, you know, to just go deeper in the word and knowing that the Bible never exhausts itself, you know, like Sister Malone was saying, that she read it, you know, she's read that scripture many times, and, you know, God is just
revealing himself so much to us. And so he wants us to be closer to him. And I'm thankful for Sister Nia, and you know, the testimony that she gave, and mm-hmm. you know, and just, you know, just being excited about the Lord, and just, you know, just witnessing firsthand, you know, his mercy and his goodness, and you know, and how he just opens up a whole new world for us. And I'm just so glad to, you know, be a part of it, and just I love everyone, and I'm just so thankful that he's brought us all together from different places and different walks of life, and so that we can be used for his glory. And I'm just really excited about Sister Nia. I'm really excited about you. I've just got this big smile on my face, but I'm just really, you know, really excited. I'm excited that you're excited, you know, and I'm just, you know, because God is just good. You know, he's just beginning this marvelous work. You know, this is just the beginning. Just when you think it's getting so good, you know, so many more wonderful things are evolving. And I'm just happy, you know, she's teaching her children about the Lord early in life. And I'm a witness that it pays off. And, you know, there's, you know, I use moments when we were in the car, because, you know, when you're home, their minds can wander, and you're talking to them about one thing and they're ready to go and play and watch TV or whatever. But I used to use even my car because they couldn't get out of the car. So I would tell them Bible stories, you know, and talk to them about the love of God and how God will come through for you no matter what you're going through. And just hearing, you know, someone that's just turned her life around, and just God just showing her how marvelous and how majestic he is, and just being excited about this walk is just, you know, it just does something to me. And you know, just hearing the testimony, you know, Brother Vic and Sister Carol, I'm just so happy that Anisha, you know, and the baby are okay. I'm just thankful to be a part of Bread of Heaven. And let's just continue, you know, just to pray for one another, that God just keeps on opening up new things for us, you know, because all we have to do is seek him. All we have to do is ask him, you know, and he'll reveal himself in ways that, you know, are beyond our imagination. So I'm just grateful to be a part of it.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Fresh. Anybody else?
Okay, I'm here, y'all, but okay. I'm in a noisy place, and so that's why I haven't gotten on. I just wanted to praise the Lord. You're doing a fantastic job tonight. So now I got to figure out how to turn it back off. Okay, hold on. See, right, that's why I didn't want to do that.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Praise. You succeeded in muting yourself. All right. Minister Malone, you getting ready to say something?
Oh, no. I didn't know.
I just noticed you were off mute. That's all. That's all.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'm not pressed. Elder Brash, if you would close us out in prayer, please, sir.
Dear Lord God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord God, for this time together, for this time, Lord God, to share your word, Lord, the insight to your word, and the bread that you fed us with tonight. We do thank you, Lord, for that manna. Lord God, we ask you as the theme of this message tonight, Lord, open our spiritual eyes, and our spiritual ears, and so we can see your glory every day. Lord God, you manifest yourself and your glory every day throughout our lives, Lord God, throughout the day. And Lord God, just help us to see that. And allow us to see you very plainly and clearly, and know that it's nobody but you that does the things that you do for us and provides the help that you, Lord, you give us. And Lord God, when we see you, Lord, let us recognize that it is you and it's nobody else. And Lord God, like the one leper that came back, the nine just kept on going. But Lord God, one recognized that they had been healed, that they had been delivered. Lord, that they had been, Lord God, made free from, Lord God, the sickness, the life, Lord God, that they had, Lord God, and they turn, they recognize that you are the high priest. You are our Lord. You are our master, Lord God, and allow us to give you glory. Lord, when we see your glory, Lord, let that turn into us giving you glory and worship, Lord God, for the things that, Lord God, you do and that you allow us to see every morning, new mercies every morning, Lord God. So we thank you for that. New love, new kindness, Lord, that you show us. Lord, the things, Lord, that we're facing, Lord, and we're going to face tomorrow, Lord God, be with us and let us, Lord, have confidence that you're there even before we show up, Lord, on the job, wherever it may be. Lord God, let us put our confidence and our whole trust in you, Lord God. And when you work it out and when you work through these things, Lord, that are too much for us, Lord God, let us give you glory wherever we are. Lord God, if we got to go to the restroom, Lord, and give you glory. We got to, Lord God, give you glory as we're traveling in our cars. Lord God, as we're walking along the street, wherever it may be, right then, Lord, let us, Lord God, worship and give you glory. We thank you and we love you, Lord, for everything. Remember those that may be sick among us. Remember the children that are sick, Lord God, mm-hmm. been praying for, bread of heaven. Continue, Lord, to extend your healing virtue to them. Lord God, heal them, deliver them. And even at a young age, Lord God, let the parents and Lord impart to them that it was Jesus that healed you. You're not sick anymore. He didn't leave you, Lord. He didn't leave you in that condition that you're in. The Lord touched your body over the night and got you going again. We thank you. We love you, Lord, for everything that you do. Lord God, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Lord, these things we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God Amen. Bless you. Good night. Love y'all.
Amen. Love you.
Thank you. Thank love. You.
Everybody have a blessed night. Love you with the love of Christ.
Good night, love y'all. Love everybody on the line. Good night, love everybody on the line. Good night, everybody on the line with the love of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Living Bread. Thank you for listening to Living Bread.
Living Bread.
Please spread the word about today's broadcast. The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us, 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.